Swahili was taught by the whites and introduced by the Dutch. And then why Swahili? Nigeria is a very going place. Ghana is a never-going place. Kenya is another highly developed area. So why would you study Swahili if it's only for your intellectual enjoyment?
So you think it would be more of a liability than an asset?
Well, it would be like a hedonist, pleasure for pleasure's sake of learning languages. Now, I took Spanish, I took German, but I took it because of my own intellectual interest.
Okay, so to study Swahili in the public schools would be hedonist, according to Larry.
Chicago, how would you answer that?
Here's my number, 591-5990. The question, should Swahili be taught as a foreign language in public schools?
Oh, I'm just going to open up the phones and let you talk to my guests. The operative question, looking at our public school systems and looking at the growing concern over African-centered education, and considering that in the past, you've had foreign languages like French in public schools, you've had foreign languages like Spanish in public schools, should Swahili be taught as a foreign language in our public school system? How would you answer that? Our last caller said it would be hedonistic, a waste of time. 591-5990, that's my number. Do you think Swahili should be taught as a foreign language in public schools? We'll talk to our guest in 60 seconds.
Card. Call in. A station that lets you be heard and a station with something to say. AM 1450, WVON, the talk of Chicago.
Okay, and I want to talk to as many people as I can on this topic. It's 9 minutes after 12 o'clock. The question is, do you think Swahili should be taught as a foreign language in public schools? What do you think about that? 591-5990, that's my number. Consider this. According to the Swahili Institute of Chicago, Swahili is a major African language spoken by nearly 60 million people. And is the leading language to become the pan-African language in the 21st century. Presently, surprising to some, Swahili is being taught in many colleges, both in the U.S. and around the globe. However, closer to home, Chicago Vocational High School is the only public school in this town that teaches Swahili. The executive director of the Swahili Institute says, quote, our motto is language is culture, and we constantly demonstrate that values, philosophy, and culture are inherent in a language, whether one is aware of it or not. Having said that, let me bring on my guest. My guest is Simba Tayari, executive director of the Swahili Institute of Chicago. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Ty.
Abaragani. Thank you so much for joining me. I don't know if you had a chance to hear Larry, the young man we talked to just before we broke for news, but he said he studied Spanish, he studied French, and to study Swahili could amount to a waste of time and be hedonistic. What's your reaction to that, though?
Well, a couple of things that he said. One, he said that Swahili was introduced by the Dutch.
Yeah, is that true?
No, that's not true.
I didn't think so.
It's not. Swahili, sometimes people are given a bad rap in terms of saying that it's Arabic or foreign developed language. What happened was it did develop as a trade language as people interacted with different civilizations of different countries in ancient times. Arabic has, it is in Swahili, there's some Arabic in Swahili, but I want to make one thing clear, Ty. Swahili is a Bantu language.
Meaning what?
Bantu is a group of languages, which means that the Bantu people, different tribes in Africa, they're spread all over from West Africa, Central Africa, East Africa, South Africa. So a person learning Swahili, it's organized as a Bantu language. A person speaking Swahili will not go to an Arabic country and speak Swahili and a person understand them. There's some words in it, but like in many of the languages borrowed from other languages in the specific history of it, but it's a Bantu language. So if you learn Swahili, it's organized in a unique way of narrow classes and many other technical linguistic factors that group these languages together. If you learn Swahili, you would be able to learn, let's say, Shona in Zimbabwe very very easy. Or Zulu. Zulu, Shona, Tosha, which Nelson Mandela speaks. All of those are Bantu languages. You can go to West Africa and you'll find these are Bantu languages. So it's a unique language in that it has interacted with other civilizations and other languages, but it's basically a Bantu language.
Now, in practical terms, let's cut straight to the chase.
Right, right.
If more schools, in addition to CVS, started teaching Swahili in the public schools of Chicago, in the dire straits that they're in, you know, some schools are just wondering, are we going to survive? Are we going to stay open? In realistic terms, what practical application could a young man or a young woman going to a Chicago public school have if they made straight A's in Swahili?
In terms of, you're talking about budgetary things, if this is a foreign language, they have a foreign language requirement for students who leave high school going to college.
Right. And the same thing can be said for French and Spanish. You know, how many black kids in Chicago public schools are going to go to Paris or Mexico City?
Precisely. I took German for 2 years in high school, I mean 2 years in college. I never went to Germany except one time passing through on a flight or somewhere else.
Right.
But that doesn't take away the fact the advantage of learning a foreign language. I don't care which language it is. I encourage people to take many foreign languages as they can, or everyone to take some foreign language because they need to get a different view. That's to learn something else about another culture. So that's why we don't have any. There shouldn't be any problems. Why he's being taught along with all the other languages in terms of budgets or whatever. Our main point is this: is that we, particularly as African American people, and that doesn't mean that only African American people should take Swahili. But they're not the only people that take it. I've taught many people different nationalities Swahili, and so I'm not saying exclusively, but we do have a peculiar and a particular. Interest in Swahili or an African language and in particular needs. We are people who, and you've heard everyone say, they took our language away, that's the first thing they did.
Mm-hmm.
And there was a reason. It was to break our ties. To break our ties with our past. And that's why we find people today, and I heard a guest earlier saying that we're different people in this. Anyone that lives in a different area, they're going to develop some peculiar characteristics. However, we go back to the roots. We have been cut off from our roots. And language is one way of cutting off the roots of a people. And that's what happened to us. So we have people who think that African languages are ooga booga booga. The Tarzan concept of the language. Swahili is a language that has been written at least from the 13th century. And it's very rich in poetry and in literature and all sorts of written documents. And it's developed into a growing language right now. I mean, it's over 60 million people speaking it now, and it's still growing.
And why is it being contended that Swahili would be the leading language in the Pan-African world in the 21st century?
Okay, very good. That's a good question, Ty. One thing is, if you look at the history of African countries after independence from colonialism, you'll find some countries couldn't even adopt an African language to be the national language because you couldn't get anyone to agree to speak the language of other people.
Right.
Okay, tribal languages, so they couldn't come to an agreement in many of these countries. Swahili is a non-tribal language. That's one of the main things about it. It's non-tribal. There's no Swahili tribe. Okay, there's not a Swahili tribe. Now, if you take a Hausa, Yoruba, and I encourage people to learn any of those languages, especially if they go into those particular areas, but I'm saying those languages are tribal languages, and also, although some people may learn, if you go to Nigeria, the national language is English. If you go to the Ivory Coast, the national language is French. But if we look at a country like, or in East Africa, we find Tanzania, Kenya, the national language is Swahili, meaning that all official business is conducted in that language. Okay. Whereas in other countries, you find in the European language is still being spoken as the national language. So we say Swahili is leading to become the national language because, number one, it is non-tribal. Okay. It's a very well-structured language. It's well-developed. There's a lot of support, research, and continued development of the language. So it has been accepted within the OAU as a Pan-African language. And it's an organization of African unity. So that's the reason we It is a non-tribal language, and it is a Bantu language, so that you can learn it. And within the Bantu language, you get the culture, and that's why we say that language is culture. Within this language, the culture is African, Bantu, we could say. And therefore, you're going to get all of those things that you would have in a culture, in Swahili, in African culture, in Swahili.
Okay, let me remind our listeners of our connection. It's 591-5990, 18 minutes after 12 o'clock.
I want to hear from as many people as I can on this one. And if anyone listening who has taken the study of the course of Swahili, whether you have attended Chicago Vocational or you took a Swahili class anywhere else, should Swahili be taught as a foreign language in our public school system? How would you answer that? My guest is Simba Tayeri. He is executive director of the Swahili Institute of Chicago. Plain and simple, do you think Swahili, just like French or Spanish or German, should be taught as a foreign language in our public schools? Phones are open at 591-5990. Mr. Tayeri, hold on. Let me accommodate a couple of sponsors and we'll come right back.
Hedonism. Do you agree? Or do you think teaching Swahili as a foreign language in the public schools would be a pretty good idea? 591-5990.
That's my number. I'd like to hear your thoughts on this matter, especially parents and teachers and anyone out there who has taken Swahili. Simba Tayeri is executive director of the Swahili Institute of Chicago. First of all, who makes up your institute? How did it all come about?
Well, the Swahili Institute was actually organized in 1988, December. The thing being that I was going to start teaching some classes, and I went to find some Swahili books in the bookstores, and I couldn't find any anywhere. You know, I called all the universities, and I called many of the bookstores, and finally found one or two that had them. I realized one of the reasons there has been the interest in Swahili over years.
Now, did you take that as an insult initially, that you couldn't even find any books on it?
Well, not as an insult. It was sort of an insult, but it also explained to me why the interest was as low as it was, because it wasn't available, And so, if it's not available, obviously people are not going to have an interest in it. So we thought that what we needed to do was to set up an institute, so we have a permanent place that's going to be promoting the language.
Okay.
We're going to organize teachers, teachers' bank, teach classes, offer cultural events that expose people to different things in African culture. Those sorts of things that give some permanency to it. So that was the reason we organized the Swahili Institute, so that we have a permanent place. We organize, we have books, build a library, build on ties with the Swahili speaking people, and build up our resources. That's the purpose of it.
I've got to ask the $64,000 question. I just want to get it out there before someone calls in with it.
Very good.
My number, by the way, is 591-5990. The question, should Swahili, Abarigani, should Swahili be taught as a foreign language in our public schools? How would you answer that, all you black nationalists out there?
591-5990. The question I'm going to pose on behalf of some callers who have talked to me when I told them you were coming on, Mr. Tayeri.
Okay.
And I'm sure you've heard it before. A lot of people in the African-American community will say, doggone it, Ty, don't even come to me with that yin-yang, because these kids in the schools nowadays are having enough problems, enough difficulty in trying to master the King's English. They can't even speak English, so why even waste their time trying to speak Swahili? How do you deal with that? What's your answer?
Okay, well, one thing is that I know I find myself from studying foreign language, it made me even more aware of English. I mean, more versatile and develop my skills more in English. Because when you learn a language, all languages have nouns, pronouns, suffix, verb, all the other parts of speech. And so in learning this foreign language, I also have to learn, So you do become actually more aware. I think any language you're going to learn, you have to learn some grammar.
Okay.
And you can relate that to English. And I found that with students that I've also taught, they say that makes me understanding English even better by looking and understanding, because they have an interest in learning the Swahili. So that makes them understand the structure of language and how it's organized. So it will help them in English as well. So that's a good question, and that's the way I would tell you. I think it would
Swahili.
And I have the executive director, director of culture and education of Switch here, Swahili Institute of Chicago. He teaches at CVS. And one of the things that teachers and students have noticed is a behavior change in the students when they come to class. Because we're talking about values. We're talking about how people relate to one another. We're talking about respect for elders. We're teaching respect for the teachers. We're talking about, values here. How do people relate to one another? And family, the importance of family in African culture. So that's one of the main reasons we're talking about the values. We're talking about you hear a lot about values these days, break down the values. We as a people, and I've heard people talk on your show before about old times or in small towns or years ago when there was a lot of respect in the community for the people, for the community, for the elders that we do not have today. This is emphasized very, very much in African culture. So that's another exposure they get. And Dr. Jose Marchman teaches over at CVS, and the students, when the teacher comes in the room, they have to stand up. Because this is respect for the teacher, to show respect for the teacher. There's just different behavior patterns they start adapting because they cannot do those things in an African context. We try to make them understand that. So I think that's another value that we bring to the school system. And where we've gone in and worked with students, we've found that it's been effective in making children understand, we're dealing in an Afrocentric, an African-centric value system here. So that's out the question. You can't just interrupt.
I'd like to go to the phones before we pause for news at the bottom of the hour. And let's say good afternoon and welcome to Dr. Margaret Burroughs.
Hello, sir.
Good afternoon.
The question I would like to ask is, after these students learn this Swahili, who are they going to talk to? Who are they going to speak to? Swahili is a trade language which is made up of by the merchants from Africa, India, and English. And it's just a language that's used particularly in the east coast of Africa, Kenya, Tanzania, and Uganda, and perhaps Zimbabwe. It is not spoken any place else on the continent of Africa. Each African country has their own native language, but most of them speak either English or French, some Portuguese. So if anybody wants to learn a language so they can communicate with their African brothers and sisters, they should learn English or they should learn French. And I think particularly African American students in the Chicago public schools should learn to speak English. You understand? English. And it would do no good for this to be made a part of the curriculum in the Chicago public schools. I'm entirely against it. I think it's stupid and I think it's a waste of time.
Would be no good whatsoever.
No good whatsoever. Not unless they're going to go over and live in Kenya someplace.
All right, Dr. Burroughs.
They're going to go over to Kenya, live in Kenya, Uganda.
You put it out there. Let's see what type of reaction we get. Oh, boy. Mr. Tayari, the floor is yours.
I have a lot of respect for Dr. Margaret Burroughs, and I do know her, but I would have to disagree with her on several points. Her argument is saying, for what she's saying, there shouldn't be any foreign language taught in the school system. Just like she said, there's no reason they should learn English, so why would they take any foreign language? So the point is, I'm saying we have foreign language, we have foreign language requirements to go to college. We have foreign language, even if you're not going to college, you can take it as a accredited subject in school. So those are the foreign languages that have been there, and they will be there. And it hasn't had anything to do with anyone else learning English. So, I mean, I don't understand the argument there. So there's no reason we should have Swahili. I mean, it's just a logical extension is that there shouldn't be any foreign language. So that's one thing. The other thing is that, I mentioned before, Swahili is a Bantu language, and I don't know if Dr. Burroughs is familiar with the African languages or if she speaks any, but I know I've had students from Zimbabwe where they speak Shona and the Belly, taking Shona, and they picked up Swahili just like that because it's a Bantu language. It's organized in the same way as all these Zulu, Bantu, Shona, Kilingala, many other languages I can mention. So it is made up of, it's interactive just like English. It's picked up words from any other language that they've come into contact with. So Swahili is no different than that. It has peculiar, because of geographical reasons, connection with, there's some Indian words in it, there's some Arabic words in it, there's some Persian words. words in it. That's because these people are interacting with those human beings now as a trade language, but it's a Bantu language. So that's what I have to say about that. And the other thing is, he said, who are you going to speak to? Well, I took German. I didn't go around speaking German to people. I was told as a math major I needed to have German when I got to college, and finally that wasn't really the truth, but I mean, there was no reason for me to have that exactly. However, many people take foreign language and they never go to the country where they speak it, so you don't just take it just because you go to that country. We find that most people who take a foreign language have not necessarily traveled to that particular area.
Okay, it's 12:30. At the bottom of the hour, we pause for a news update.
You got the phones jumping off the hook. We'll pause and get an update from Val Langdon and come right back, okay? Simba Tayeri, Executive Director of the Swahili Institute of Chicago. Isn't it interesting? Our first two callers, Larry and Dr. Burrow, said nope. It would be a total waste of time to teach Swahili as a foreign language in the public schools. Speaking of education, here's a question. Is your child's report card below what you expected? Well, if so, live line Simba Tayeri,
Executive Director of the Swahili Institute of Chicago. The question we're posing, should Swahili be taught as a foreign language in public schools? Simba, are you ready for some calls?
Yes, I am.
You got them lined up from end to end. Let's go to line number one. Robert, thanks for holding on.
Just like to make a comment.
Yes.
I think it is a great idea for Swahili to be taught in public school because, to me, people language is the first vehicle to, you know, culture.
And I detect by your accent you're from the motherland?
No, I was born in Cuba.
Cuba? Oh, okay. ¿Cómo está?
I think this is the first vehicle towards culture, and I think it will give the kids in the school a pride, you know, some pride because, you know, they will have something, you know, even though Swahili had, you know, teach them many languages, it will give the kids a sense of pride because it would be something of their own. Because I think that to learn anything about yourself will build self-pride and self-confidence in yourself. And that's my comment. Thank you.
Muy bien. Thank you for your call. Simba, anything to add?
Yeah, I think that's very important. That's one of the things that I did want to mention is that it's not only the language that you learn the culture. And you know what we do a survey, so we have some statistical facts. The low attitude, I mean, a very low self-esteem that people have when they have to get, we talk about Afrocentric Christian, but if we talk about Africa, we know our people have many misconceptions about Africa, and we know many of the things that cause that. But when they start learning about their culture, how rich it is, and how deep it is, then it gives them self-pride. It gives them a lot of confidence in themselves. We were, as I mentioned before, historically disconnected through our language when we first came here. So this is one of the ways of reconnecting that.
I hear what you're saying, but then again, I hearken back to what Larry and Dr. Burrow said, claiming that Swahili was, in effect, an amalgamation and maybe not a true African language.
Well, I try to deal with that earlier. Saying it's a Bantu language, and anyone that's speaking a Bantu language, if you learn Swahili, you learn African culture. And I don't care if you go to another country, if you understand the African culture which they will be introduced to, they can relate to any other country that they go to because African culture, although they have many, many varieties, there's one basic overriding factor. Swahili being amalgamation is not so much amalgamation, it's a Bantu language, it has interaction with other languages. There's no more amalgamation than English is.
All right, Chicago, the question is, and I'd really like to hear your thoughts on it, on this particular issue, should Swahili be taught as a foreign language in the public school system? My guest obviously says yes. He's the executive director of the Swahili Institute. Got a couple of lines open. Here's my number, 591-5990. Back to the phones. Reese, good afternoon.
It would be more advantageous to teach Arabic.
And why is that?
Because Arabic is spoken by more African people than Swahili is. And Swahili would be about the third or fourth language that's spoken by African people on the continent. You got Yoruba that's ahead of that, and you got Hausa. And, you know, we were taken from the west coast of Africa. Swahili is predominantly Kenyan, Ugandan, Tanzanian, etc. I mean, if we're going to talk about African language, we need to be talking more something on the West Coast or possibly Arabic.
Hold on a second, Reese. We've got to get a reaction from our guest. Simba, the floor is yours.
If you're talking about Arabic, you got to understand that language is culture. We're talking about teaching Swahili as to introduce people to not only language but to African culture. If you're learning Arabic, you're learning Arabic culture. So that's that's what we're saying, and that's why Arabic would never be accepted as a pan-African language in Africa. That's why Swahili has been.
Arabic would never be accepted as a pan-African.
It has been rejected as a pan-African language. It's been suggested as a pan-African language in Africa, but it has been rejected in the Organization for African Unity and the universities and the other people who are dealing with trying to develop a pan-African language.
Now, Reese, let me make sure I have a clear understanding. It's not necessarily that you're saying don't do it, but don't make it number one on the list of priorities?
Yeah. I'm saying that, if you look there again, Swahili contains derivatives from Arabic. Swahili is, as I said, it's an amalgamation language. It contains some of the Bantu derivatives from the interior. Am I right? From maybe towards Central Africa, and it, as well as it contains Arabic.
Well, Bantu Bantu people originated thousands and thousands years ago in Central around the Great region of East Africa.
Yeah.
So I'm saying it's a Bantu language. It has, it's just like English. It has words from every language. You look in the dictionary, you find different derivatives. And so Swahili is no different in that sense, but it's an African language. That's what I have to make you understand. It's not an Arabic culture that's from Swahili. It's Bantu. It's the African culture that's in Swahili. So, you know, that's kind of a misconception that people have. You know, you keep saying it's amalgamation. Every language that's spoken internationally does have an amalgamation of different languages. So there's nothing different about that in Swahili. But when you look at the base of it, just like English is a European language, Swahili is a little African language. It's not an Arabic language. It's an African language. That's adapted and interacted with these other languages.
Yeah, but still, it wouldn't be the most predominant African language on the continent.
I don't know any other language spoken by more than 60 million people in Africa.
Yoruba.
Yeah, it's a very small language in Africa. I have to tell you the truth. It's not spoken by 60 million people, believe me.
So obviously we're looking at two different sets of numbers. Reese, you disagree with those numbers?
Yeah, I do. I don't think it's spoken by 60 million. It's mostly concentrated in Uganda, Kenya, and maybe just a few of the East African countries. As far as spreading west.
Okay, Reese, let me ask you this. If your children attended public school, would you be diametrically opposed to having them learn this as a foreign language if the teacher said this is the only one that's being offered as an option?
Oh, okay, no. If they said yes, I would say yes. I'm saying if we want to push for a language,
yeah,
we could push for a better, you know, there would be a better alternative.
Make that number three or number four?
Make that number three, yeah.
All right, Reese, obviously a difference in numbers there, Simba, and it sounds like never the twain shall meet. You're giving your 60 million figure, and he says he can't buy that.
Well, I can tell you, it's spoken by 60 million people. And I can also tell you that the only closest other language that's spoken by almost not that many people.
So how are these numbers tabulated? Because obviously you two were on two different ends of the spectrum there.
Well, I can tell you, I'll tell you where it's spoken first of all. It's spoken as a national language in Tanzania. It's spoken as a national language in Kenya. That's already 40 million people right there. It's spoken in Uganda. It's spoken in eastern Zaire. It's spoken in northern Mozambique. It's spoken in southern Somalia. It's spoken in the Comoros Islands. It's even spoken in northern end of Madagascar. It's spoken in parts of Zambia. It's spoken as a first language. It's a language that's spoken by people that can communicate in this language across other language barriers. So it's a language that's spoken in all of these places. If you take Tanzania and Kenya, there's many, many daily newspapers in Swahili. There's many, many magazines, much printed material, rich history of past literature, as well as many books that are put out now. They started in the public school system, the medium of instruction in the public school system. So you just don't have that in other language. The other thing I'm saying is it's non-tribal. It's not a tribal language. Where he mentioned Yoruba. And Yoruba has a very rich history, but you can't even talk about numbers in terms of that. In West Africa, Hausa is spoken probably more than any other language. It's like a trade language there, but it's also a tribal language, so that's been one of the problems. You can find in Nigeria, they couldn't adapt an African national language, accepted English as a national language. So.
Okay, the plot thickens now. Let's see if we can work in as many calls as we can. 591-5990. The operative question, should Swahili be taught as a foreign language in our public schools? My guest is the executive director of the Swahili Institute, Kojo.
Hey, how you doing, Tom?
Good afternoon.
Good afternoon. This is Kojo Achampa, formerly of Ghana, lived in Ghana for 11 years. You know, I agree with you 100%. I agree with some of that. I think that any Afro-American, any black person should at least to try to learn any language, any African language, in any other language. I think that's one of our biggest handicaps here, because we don't know of any other language. You know, we have to listen to people and be something. We have to, if you travel to Africa and someone, in some cases, there has to be some white person to come up to you and translate to you what your black brother or sister is saying to you. It's very embarrassing. Like Brother Sanders said, once you learn the language, any language there, you automatically learn the custom of that particular area. And custom means a way of life. Another thing is, this brother here is an authority. I mean, he's a professional. He's an educator. And he spent half of his life talking more than that, learning language. He lived in Kenya. He learned the language and the culture there, and he's fluent in it. This guy read and write in it. He speaks Arabic and everything. So he's qualified to teach on a university level. Now, unless I had qualifications to meet him, I wouldn't dare tell him. Now, even I know good and well that the Yoruba is a smaller tribe compared to. You can speak Swahili in Ghana, in the northern part of Ghana, and be understood. I think many of us, black Americans, we find so many excuses to identify with our motherland. We can find something like I heard one woman call in referring to the word of hedonism. The first time I heard that word was in Togo, and it was by some white missionaries, and it was boasted about how they went to Congo and destroyed some African carvers because it was work of hedonism. I mean, so there's so many things that we can learn from.